Jesus is the good shepherd. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Psalm 23 reminds us that all sheep need a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. When we talk about a shepherd wanting for the sheep, it really is amazing as we open up Psalm 23 and read these words, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." What do sheep want more than anything? They want food. They want to live. They want to be happy. They want to be content. There's two things that sheep want, if you could categorize them in this way. They want food and they want safety. If they all want food, and they want food wherever they can find it. So we have with us a sheep here. I couldn't resist the opportunity to bring a sheep in front of the congregation today and to use it as my illustration. So this sheep has not been fed yet. So we moved her over here, and we're gonna feed her. So you can see that sheep really like to eat. They really like to eat all kind of food, mainly green things. So we can watch the sheep eat, and they just will eat and eat and eat. Plenty of food there. They want to eat. Sheep love to eat. Right now, this winter, we haven't had a lot of rain, right? So the fields and the desert is all bare. But when the desert gets rain, you know, this desert turns lush green. And most of my illustrations of my sheep come from when I take the sheep out from this yard and I take them out there into the desert, to the raw wilderness. And that's when I come up with all these great adventures with these sheep. I used to have up to like 15 sheep. But because some die from coyotes and some die from us eating them and some die just from disease, sheep die pretty easy. I never had half the problem with the goats over there. But the sheep have all kinds of problems because the sheep, goats are greedy too, but sheep are incredibly greedy. They just want to eat and eat and eat and eat. They'll just eat and eat and eat. One farmer in Los Angeles County in Antelope Valley lost 83 of his sheep because they broke the fence down and they all ran into his alfalfa field and they just went crazy. Sheep will just eat themselves to death. The shepherd was gone. He had a hired hand watching the sheep. He wasn't paying attention. And all of his sheep, there's like 2,000 of them, they went in there, and 83 of them just ate so much that they just fell over, and they just died. I've seen her before, so fat from eating out in the field, just they can hardly walk, and they just kind of waddle. They gorge themselves. They eat so much. It looks crazy. She just obviously gave birth. Those two hopefully will give birth soon. And then there's the dad, the ram right there, the big guy. So we have them separated now for them to give birth so they don't hurt the babies. But they'll just go crazy. The farmer's wife, she said they just go wild. She said they don't know when to stop. And that's a sheep. They don't know when to stop. You'll see, she'll eat that hay. That's a lot of hay I just gave her. That's alfalfa hay. It's a lot of protein in it. She'll just eat and eat and eat. And, I mean, they do get this. She won't eat herself to death on that. But they can. They don't know when to stop. They go crazy. And if you don't feed them, you know, they act like they're going to die. Like, if you don't feed them for a day, they just start hollering and all that. When we milk the goats at night, it's interesting. Sheep are dumb, but they're also are smart in the way they look for food. I'll milk the goat, and when I'm done milking, all the sheep out here start going crazy. So that tells you they're watching me. They know when I'm about done milking, that's when I feed them, right? So when I'm about done, like, how do they know that? They're watching. They're always looking for food. They always look for food. They're always watching. And when I'm about done, all of them just go, blah, rah, start calling for food. And they remind me because sometimes I could forget to feed them. It's dark out, right? So I don't forget when they start carrying on and on. Sheep want food. They like green things. They love to go in my garden. They've gotten that garden several times. Last year, they just mowed down the lettuce, and I wasn't too happy with them. So they see the bigger fences. The bigger fence is over there because they pushed that metal mesh fence. They just pushed it right down. They've gone under it. They tunneled under it to get under there. That hole in that fence, that's from the sheep getting out to go to the neighbor's yard. Now, thankfully, that neighbor let this sheep, just like he let you park there. He also didn't mind our sheep grazing over there. And Tim Wiley didn't mind our sheep grazing over there either, but when he owned that house. So when it would rain, they tunneled right through that chain link fence. See the hole over there where I'm pointing? They tunneled. That's not from a dog. That's from the sheep tunneling, pushing that fence out so they could get over to the neighbor's yard and eat the food over there, eat the grass over there. So sheep love to eat. They eat and eat and they eat. The only thing that can stop a sheep from eating when the sheep is hungry, and that is fear. So a sheep can go from greed, eat more, give me more, give me more, I want grass, to fear in a moment. So if they see something that spooks them, they run. Now, look at a sheep. They don't have much defense. They don't bite. I mean, when you go to slaughter a sheep, when you go to shear a sheep, they don't bite. Now, some say they can bite. But typically, you can hold the sheep to the ground, and they don't bite you. I mean, what animal can you do that with, right? That you can hold it down and shear it or terminate it, you know? And they just lay there. They're very docile. So they don't have any offensive weapons. All they can do is run, and they kind of know that. So, you know, if they see a dog or if they see a coyote, bam, they just take off. One day I was out, again, back behind there. Those houses weren't there, behind the new house that was built, down in the floodplain, and it was kind of thick. We had some rain a couple years ago, and the grass was pretty thick, and I was walking and meditating and praying, and I wasn't watching the sheep as in looking at them directly. And a coyote came in between me and the sheep, came in, and bam, took out two of them, took a baby, ate it, and I heard him like, oh, no. And so I've run over there. Of course, as soon as that happens, the sheep, they scatter. They just, they run, right? They just scatter. And so I tracked it down. I found the one baby was half dead. It had its neck ripped, and that one died, and the other one was gone just in an instant. So the coyotes are just they're looking around. I didn't even see them. I mean, it was like this time of the day, right? Maybe a little early, like 9 o'clock, and I never saw the coyote, took it and gone. So the sheep, God gave them this instinct to know that if they see something that's not right, they run. Now, what terrifies a sheep more than anything else is to see another sheep running. So they're herd animals, and they want to stay together. We have them separated in pens, but if we took the pens away, whoop, they'd be right back together. So they like to watch each other. They like to be together. They're herd animals. And so if one sheep sees another sheep run, they can automatically just all run together. God gave them that instinct. Just like the birds in the air, they flock together. They fly together. You see them, they all turn. Isn't that like a school of fish? I don't know how God did that, but they'll turn together. Well, people do that too. So they'll come. And they run. So I'm like, oh, great. Now the sheep, they're all over the place, you know. They're gone. So when a sheep gets scared, where does it run? When an animal gets scared, when it gets wounded, where does it go? It goes home. It goes back to the place where it last felt safe. Went to the place of safety. And so where is the place of safety on my property? It's over there where the hay is. The hay has a fence around it because that's for the goats, and the goats love to get into that. When we have grass, the sheep eat grass, the goats get the hay. That's the plan. But, of course, when there's no rain, then the sheep have to eat some hay too because there's no grass for them to eat. So they go to, they're all back here. I came back here, and that's where they all were. They're all huddled together trying to get to the hay. But that's where they go. They run back, so they'll get scared. They'll run into a fence. They'll run in. They'll try to run through a fence. They'll try to run over you. So that's the life of a sheep. So if you could talk about the desire of the sheep, they have two main desires that they fluctuate between: greed and fear. That's a sheep's life. They're greed. They want more. They want it now. They don't want to wait. They cry and they complain and they seek and they look. They want more food because they're starving. You know, they have those huge stomachs. They have the four different compartments, and so you know, they have a lot of room in that stomach to put a ton of food, and they just love to eat and eat and eat, and so they want more. They're greedy in that sense. And the only thing that stops that pursuit of more is fear. Oh my goodness, we're going to die. And they run and they panic and they freak out, and they'll get into all kinds of trouble. They'll knock themselves out trying to get through a fence. Bam! And they'll break their legs, and just because they get scared. That's sheep. The Bible calls us sheep. That's what that means. We want more, and we get scared. We run, and then we get starved. I've actually seen one time a sheep was running from a dog. It was in the yard, and the sheep actually, the dog was barking. It was a different dog, and the sheep were terrified. It actually stopped, ate a blade of grass that was growing, and then kept running. Like, that's a sheep. I'm terrified, but I'm hungry too. I want more. The dogs are coming. Oh, here's a bite. She grabs it up, and then she starts running. That's sheep. Now, when you read Psalm 23, think about this amazing statement. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is, I shall not be in need of anything. He is my shepherd. God calls us sheep because we are like sheep. And when God is our shepherd, I will not want for sustenance or security. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for more, for sustenance, and for safety. When the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23, verse 2. Talks about a very important concept that every good shepherd wants to give to his sheep. He wants to give his sheep contentment. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. How does the shepherd make the sheep to lie down in green pastures? Well, you can't. You can't make a sheep lie down. I mean, I could go in and I could wrestle the sheep to the ground, and I've done that. I pull their feet out from under them and wrestle them down. And that's when I've hurt my back before. You guys know those stories. So I won't do that today, especially that guy over there. But when the sheep are content after they're done eating, like those sheep down there, Sam fed them this morning. They're still eating. But in the afternoon, when they eat all this food, in the green pastures, when they are full, in that rare moment, a well-cared-for sheep will be content. And the well-cared-for sheep will actually lie down, even in a green pasture, content. They're full, and they're digesting all that food that's in their stomach now. And that's the picture here. So verse 2 really is a picture of contentment, isn't it? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He cares for me. He provides for me, and he protects me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now I am satisfied in him. I am well nourished and cared for. He leads me beside still waters. The good shepherd gives his sheep all they need. We're talking total care, protection, provision, food, water, everything a sheep needs. That's what the good shepherd gives. He leads me beside the still waters. What the good shepherd does to the sheep physically, he does for his people completely. And so this is an analogy we know. And verse 3 goes from the shepherding aspect of the physical to what that means to the people of God spiritual. That is, just like he feeds and protects the sheep, he feeds and protects my soul. Verse 3, Psalm 23. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What do we really need? We need our souls restored. We need our minds renewed. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. He gives us righteousness. He gives us grace. Every sheep likes the well-worn path. They like to go to the same place over and over again, unless they are looking for a new place, and they do both. So we'll go out and we'll have our well-worn path. And that's the Hebrew word there for path, is the well-worn path. It's not the new path. It's not the make-a-path. It's the well-worn path. And those sheep know right where the paths are. Over that direction, there's a mallow patch. And the sheep love mallow. And when we get rain, that mallow just grows. And those sheep have a well-worn path to that mallow. When we take them out, we let them out of the pens, first thing they go, they make a beeline. They follow that path. They go right to that mallow. That's a picture of God's righteousness for us. He restores our soul. He leads us in those well-worn paths where we know we can get righteousness. We know where we can get satisfaction. Our souls are troubled, he restores it back to that place of renewal and satisfaction and blessing and goodness and kindness. We have those well-worn paths of righteousness in his word, in his presence, in prayer. The Holy Spirit ministering to our spirit. This is what God our shepherd does. He restores our soul. He leads us in the right way. And he does it for his name's sake. He feeds us and he protects us. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So what could be more terrifying to sheep than to go through the valley of a shadowy place? If you look at a floodplain, if you look at the woods line, sheep hate to go into the woods from an open field. At least my sheep do. I only have experience with my sheep. And, I look at all the grass in the woods. I look at all the grass amongst the trees. And I tried like one time for a half an hour. Come on. I grabbed her by the collar because she was one of the leading sheep. And I took her by the collar. If I could just get one sheep into the woods line where they're shadowy there, right? If I could just get one sheep there to see all this lush grass, maybe I could get the other sheep to come to where all this grass are. And I got one, and I tied her there, and I tried to shepherd the other sheep there. They weren't coming. They did not want to go into that shadowy place. Because I think to a sheep, I think they see shadows as terrifying. They look at a shadowy place as, I'm not going there. That's one of the most terrifying places you could lead me. So God says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? You're with me. People are the same way. We're greedy and we're fearful. Fight or flight. We have a hard time in that middle ground called maturity. Fight or flight. But the good shepherd takes us from fight or flight, from greed and fear, and he takes us right to the valley of the shadow of death, and he walks through it with us. And when he walks through it with us, we have no fear. And why is that? Because our shepherd is with us. So the sheep that really trust their shepherd, and unfortunately, I guess I'm more of a Western shepherd than a Middle Eastern shepherd. I don't quite have the level of relationship. My sheep have some faith in me, but not complete faith. I keep them in pens too long, I think. I don't shepherd them every day, right? I'm not out in the elements shepherding them every day. So they kind of half trust me. And Sam. Sam's the other shepherd boy in our family. But the sheep who trust their shepherd fear no evil. And here's the reason why. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, many of us have dogs. If you have a stick, if a dog, like a stray dog comes and you have a stick, right? What does that stray dog do? It cowers down. They hate seeing that stick in a person's hand. Well, animals are like that, and sheep are like that. So who knows who the leader of the sheep are amongst the sheep? That would be the leading ram, right? The leading ram. And the leading ram on our property is that guy right over there. Now, if you get an idea of his dad, who's no longer here, his dad was a little bit bigger, although he's catching up to his dad. His dad was a pretty big ram. And the dad, the ram, will watch all the sheep, and he will kind of protect the sheep. And so that one time I was out with the sheep, and it's when I had about 14. And again, I wasn't watching the sheep as close as I should. And that ram came up behind me. You know, they'll square off on you, right? And I've squared off on them many times. And they go to buck you, and I kind of just move over. You know, you get like the whole, it's kind of interesting to watch, because once they commit, they can't change. Once they go up and they commit to ram you, they can't like move. You can just move over, and there they go. But I didn't see them come up behind me. And I was just in the field meditating and praying, and all of a sudden, I see stars, and bam, I'm on my face. Bam! I turn around, and he's just looking at me. Triumphant. I'm like, oh, man. Knocked me down. But here's the thing. At any given point, when that ram sees this rod, that ram just cowers. He puts his head down. He submits. It's amazing the authority that a rod has over a ram, and hence all the sheep. So the scepter of his authority, right? This idea of a scepter, this idea of a rod. Think, you know, our ancestors were mainly agrarian people. They lived with animals, and they learned, and they thought, and they lived in those terms. So the rod that comforts me, it's a very true picture. The shepherd takes his rod, and he shepherds the sheep with them. He guides the sheep with them. He protects the sheep with them. The wolves and the dogs that come, he fights them off with his rod. And so as we look at the Lord, he leads us through the valley of the shadow of death. We fear no evil. Why? Because he has the rod, the staff. He has the authority, the legitimate authority, to provide and to protect and to direct us, his sheep. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. He does this always, and he does this forever. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our good shepherd. Now, why wouldn't every sheep want to be shepherded by the good shepherd? That's our question for our text today in John 10. Why wouldn't every sheep want to be shepherded by the good shepherd? The answer? Because they're deceived. Turn with me to John chapter 10, verse 1. Jesus is going to give us true characteristics of a shepherd in contrast to the false. John chapter 10, verse 1, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter by the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. The good shepherd is known by his sheep. The good shepherd is the legitimate owner of the sheep. And as the legitimate owner, he enters by the door. Now we all know in the ancient Near East, they didn't have metal. They didn't have barbed wire, right? They couldn't put up metal pens like this. So they built rock pens. They made a sheep pen, and they took rocks that are very, there's a plethora of rocks in Israel. There's rocks all over the entire country. And they took those rocks, and they built fences. They made large sheep pens. And every night, they would take the sheep, and they'd gather them into the sheep pen to protect them from the coyotes and the mountain lions and the wolves and the dogs, right? They'd protect the sheep. They'd leave them in the pen, and they'd have a door. And they'd count the sheep as they went in. 99, oh, where's 100? They'd count them as they would go in, and there was one door. And then there was one doorkeeper that would watch the door to the sheep. Jesus is saying, I am that door. I am the one who enters in by that door. He was recognized by the doorkeeper. He had the legitimate authority and power to be the owner of the sheep. Now, there's a lot of other things that want to get into those sheep. There's a lot of other, in the analogy of the animal world, a lot of coyotes, a lot of wolves, a lot of dogs that want to come and eat the sheep. They want to climb in to the sheep pen. They want to get in another way. The same as a thief and a robber. A thief or a robber want to come and take the sheep, take them for his own. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep, the legitimate owner of the sheep. And the legitimate owner of the sheep knows the sheep, he owns the sheep, he leads the sheep, and he cares for the sheep. And the sheep will follow him because they too have come to know his voice. Notice all the characteristics of the good shepherd match perfectly with what the sheep need. They need to be led. They need a shepherd. They need someone to take care of him. They need to be fed. They need to be protected. John 10, verse 6. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. They did not understand the spiritual meaning that Jesus Christ was intending to communicate. John chapter 10, verse 6. They didn't get it. They all knew the physical. It's like a parable. They all knew the physical meaning. They knew sheep and shepherds and sheep pens and thieves and robbers. That was all part of their world. They lived it every day. But as Jesus was talking about this, they were looking at him like, what are you getting at, Lord? They didn't make the parallel. They didn't get the connection between this world of the sheep to this world of the people. They couldn't get from here to there. So what do you think Jesus did to help them get there? He tells them again. Verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, in case you missed it the first time, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. Jesus is saying very clearly, I am the door. Don't you guys see? I am the only legitimate ruler, master, owner, caretaker, and lover of the sheep. Jesus is the only one who possesses the legitimate authority to enter in through that door. Just as a shepherd would be the only one who would have the authority to go into that sheep pen. All of the others are thieves and robbers. He says, all who ever come before me. And who is coming before him? What was the context here? Who was he dealing with? He's dealing with the Pharisees. He's dealing with the Jews. Jesus just healed the man born blind. And they don't want anything to do with it. Jesus is coming. He's seeking. He's saving his sheep. And the Pharisees didn't want anything to do with him. They didn't want anything to do with his miracle, with his mercy, with his grace, with his love, and with his truth. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers. They do not possess the legitimate authority. They come with deception. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. False elders. Think of the Pharisees. Think as Paul said, there will be many who will come from among you. They will deceive many. So watch. Think about church history. I think about from the Pharisees, you had false elders. From the false elders, you had Arians that rose up, the Arian controversy that rose up within the church. You had the Gnostics that says, yeah, you can take the Bible and you can take paganism and you can mix it together. We had Muhammad rise up and say, yeah, you can take the Bible, you can take Judaism, you can take paganism, and you can put it all together. We had many false bishops build up a man-made tradition that would become the Roman Catholic Church. We have revised Arianism in our day called the Jehovah Witnesses. We have a revived form of Gnosticism, paganism, in the Mormon Church. It's a mixture of ancient paganism, Gnosticism, a little Christianity sprinkled in to make it palatable for Americans. Liberal Christianity, again, revived Gnostic pagan mixed with Christianity. We have many who are seeking to bring deception. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, leading to the great apostasy of our day, atheism. There is no God, which looks like Marxism, the destruction of a nation. All are founded by men who have no right to enter the sheep pen. Jesus said, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pastures. I am the door, he said. I am the way of salvation. There is no other salvation outside of Christ. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. And those who come to him, they go in and out and find good pastures. He leads his sheep. He feeds his sheep. He loves the sheep. Look at the contrast. Verse 10, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. All the other who are deceiving the sheep, all the others who are deceiving the sheep, they climb in, they try to get to the sheep to deceive them, and their goal is one and the same, to steal the sheep, to destroy the sheep, and to kill the sheep. And that's all they do. All their deception is based on that, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's all they know how to do. They can't do anything but that, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. What sheep wouldn't want more life? What sheep wouldn't want a better food source and protection? That's what all sheep want. That's what all people want. They all want a better life. Well, Jesus said very clearly, I have come that you may have life more abundantly. Jesus comes to give us the abundant life. Jesus, and the word abundant is in excess, like tons of it, like a blessed life. It's not like, oh, I'm a Christian. That means I must have to have a horrible life. We know there's trials and tribulation. Everybody has that. But in our trials and tribulations, we get the abundant life. We get Christ in us. We get Christ shepherding our souls. We get Christ putting his love in our hearts and filling us with his grace and lavishing us with his mercy and his love and his tenderness. What sheep wouldn't want that kind of care and love and attention? Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. The reason the sheep reject the shepherd is because they're deceived. They get deceived by those who are stealing and killing and destroying in the name of an abundant life, in the name of freedom, in the name of a better life, in the name of a better way. But in the end, what do they always do? They steal, they kill, and to destroy. Every nation that turns its back on God is destroyed. Every nation. There's no exception anywhere. Even God's own people, when they rejected him, God destroyed them. And more than once. Jesus is the good shepherd. He is our shepherd. So why are they deceived? Jesus says clearly, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Why are they deceived? They don't understand who Jesus is. They don't understand what Jesus does. And they don't understand what he could be in their life. So Jesus tells us very clearly the characteristics of a good shepherd so that we can tell the difference between a good shepherd and a false shepherd. Someone who wants to steal from you, take your money. Someone who wants to kill from you, abort your babies. Someone who wants to destroy you, lie to you, tell you things that are not true according to God's word. They're not your friend. They're not your friend. And ultimately, they link back to the father of lies, who is the devil, who has one mission: to steal and to kill and to destroy all people. He certainly wants to steal and to kill and to destroy Christians who are following Christ. But he'll take all people, because all people are made in the image of God. So Satan, in that sense, equally hates all people. He equally wants to steal and to kill all people who are made in the image of God, because you remind him of God, and he hates God. So that's why the devil incites these riots and these lies. And it's sad that so many get deceived. What's happening in America is simply this: we're rejecting our good shepherd. That's all that's happening. It's simple. We are rejecting the good ways. We're rejecting the Lord. We're rejecting the good shepherd who has protected us and fed us. We're rejecting him. And we're rejecting him for the deception of liars who steal and who kill and who destroy. It was true in Jesus' day. It's true in every day. This never changes until he comes back. What our prayer is, what our hope is, that you would come to the good shepherd, that you would see the good shepherd. Jesus is laboring here. This is written for us that we would know the characteristics of a good shepherd, and we could think about them. He opens the eyes of the blind. He shepherds them. He cares for them. He comes to them. He leads and guides, and he gives his life. How do you know a good shepherd? I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. By contrast, the hireling. He who is not the shepherd, he who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. Root issue: doesn't care about the sheep. So when trials come, when tribulations come, if the person that you're trusting in just runs, there's no love there. There's no care there. Jesus doesn't run. In the opening illustration where the hired hand was watching those sheep that broke into the alfalfa patch, I mean, he was a hireling. Did he care for the sheep? They weren't his sheep. They were his boss's sheep. So, yeah, he wanted to get paid money, right? He was a hireling. So when disaster came, whatever. He wasn't watching the sheep. He didn't own the sheep. And ownership means responsibility. He didn't take responsibility for the sheep. So it is, when the wolves come, when the false doctrine comes, when the evil comes, oh, sure, you can have the sheep. Doesn't lay down his life for the sheep. When fathers just say, oh, sure, you can come and take my children. Here, I'll give you my children. There's deception there. There's not a love. Jesus, the good shepherd, never does that. He stays with his sheep because he cares for them. And he cares for them to such a degree that even though the wolf comes, he will lay down his life to protect the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus, our good shepherd, did. Satan had the people. Satan was destroying the people. Satan was crushing the people. And Jesus, rather than running, ran right to the battle. He ran right into the clutches of the devil. And he willingly died to set his people free. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he was not the shepherd, one who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming, bye, I'm out of here, leaves and flees. The wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. So from here we see that love is sacrificial. You know, a lot of people say they love each other, but when sacrifice is demanded, where do they go? That's when your mettle is tested. When sacrifice is demanded, no, I love you enough to sacrifice for you. That's what it means to follow the shepherd. Love is sacrificial, and love is relational. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. We see that love is not only sacrificial, it is also relational. The word know. Love is manifest in relationships. And this is because of who God is. One of the strongest affirmations of the divinity of Christ is in this next context, verse 15. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. In all the context of the divine relationship between the Father and Son, this verse is one of those verses that just stands out. And it's in Matthew's gospel, it's in other gospels. But think about this verse. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. That is, the same way the Father knows the Son also knows the Father. Now, we would expect that the Father knows his creation. That's not surprising. He's the Creator. And we know that the Creator knows all about the creation because he made it. That's part of him being the Creator. But what created being could say back to the Creator and say, I know you in the same way that you know me? He couldn't. That would be an equality of relationship. To know God the same way he knows anything in the creation would make them equal in their knowing. Nothing in all creation can be said to know the Creator the same way God the Creator knows his creation. Furthermore, in the context, knowing takes on the meaning of engaging in a relationship with another. He's talking about knowing his sheep, following his sheep. It's not just about knowing information. To know is to have a relationship with. It's facts in the context of an interpersonal relationship. That's what it means to know. Jesus then is teaching us that he is co-equal in his relationship with God. And the Father sent his Son to be this good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Here is the goal. Verse 16, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. So it is Christ's plan that he will bring others, the Gentiles, into the people of God, and there will be one flock led by one shepherd, the Jews and the Gentiles together. And that was just the beginning. Therefore, my Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. The co-equal relationship Jesus had with his Father is one that is characterized by complete honor and submission to his Father's will. So even though they had an equality of knowing one another that was unique to the Father and the Son, we also see that there was a subordination in their relationship, that the Son always did the will of his Father. He always did what his Father commanded him to do. Jesus was full of honor and submission to the will of his Father, God the Father. Jesus always did what pleased his Father. In relation to men, Jesus will die on the cross because of his choosing. In relation to God, this is the command that the Father gave to the Son. The Father gave his Son for us to be our shepherd. In relation to the Jews, verse 19, this caused great division. What are you talking about? Look at verse 19. Therefore, there was a division among them, among the Jews, because of these sayings. And many of them said, He has a demon and is mad. He's crazy. Why are you listening to him? He's talking this babble. What do you mean? Your father, talking about your father as if you know him, as if you are equal to him. And you'll see later on in this context that the Jews were understanding what he said. Because you may make yourself, as a man, God. And that's blasphemy. And they picked up stones. They wanted to kill him. No man can be equal with God like this. So the Jews are divided. They want to kill him, get rid of him. And half of them are saying, why you listen to this fellow? Get out of here. But others say, these are not the words of one who has a demon. He's speaking the word of God. Furthermore, can a demon open the eyes of the blind? This is still part of the story of the blind man who Jesus uses as an example of his healing power, of him opening the eyes of those who are born blind. What about you? Are your eyes open to see the Good Shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? Is he shepherding your life? Is he coming to you? Has he come to you? Has he given you this abundant life that you're so satisfied in him, that you're so protected by him, that you don't look to the other fake and false shepherds, that you leave their pastures, you leave their deception, you leave their lies, and follow your shepherd, and hear the voice of your shepherd, and stop eating things that are harmful to you, that don't satisfy you, and stop going to places that are dangerous to you, that are run by liars and thieves and crooks and villains and wolves in sheep's clothing. What about you? Will you come to your good shepherd and be shepherded by him? You know, all sheep need a shepherd. That's our nature. We all like sheep. We all want more. We all need more. We all need to be protected. Jesus is the good shepherd. He enters by the door. He's recognized by the doorkeeper. He knows the sheep. He owns the sheep. He leads the sheep. He cares for the sheep. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. And this is the commandment that he got from the Father and has delivered it to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your watchful care in sending Jesus Christ, your Son, to guide us, to buy us, to redeem us, to forgive us, to shepherd us. Be our shepherd, we pray, in Jesus' name.